Ladies and gentlemen, you are listening to the Two Guys Talking Podcast Network. Thank you.
Welcome to the Green Gab Podcast, a place to gab with people rocking it in green. Green homes, green living, and green companies. Join Marla Esser-Close, the green home coach and author of Living Green Effortlessly, Simple Choices to a Better Home, and Tony Pratt, the director of builder relations at The Sound Room. Here are your hosts, Marla and Tony.
I'm Marla Esser-Close, the green home coach, gabbing on the Green Gab podcast today. How are you today, Tony?
I'm doing well, Marla. This is Tony Pratt with The Sound Room.
Well, we have a guest with us today that I am so excited about.
You're always excited for our guests to come on.
I know. Isn't that cool?
It is. It really is.
I have really figured out that between the two of us, we are so, so fortunate to know some of the just amazing people that we do.
Oh, I know. I kind of jokingly refer to it as just an accidental life, because I don't know exactly how, but accidentally I've met so many fascinating people throughout this world.
I don't think it's accidental. I think you're just prepared and in the right place, and then you take advantage of it.
No, it's an accident.
Okay. I'm trying to give you some credit here.
No, I wouldn't bother with that.
Okay, well, fine. Well, let's introduce Suzanne. Suzanne,
you guys.
Hi.
Hey, I'm glad to be here today and glad you're excited.
Yeah. Well, you and I have been talking about this for a few months, and I'm just so glad we finally got our schedules to coincide so we could get on the same space for a little bit. Tell us a little bit about yourself. And I know you from, conferences, the Builders Show. I'm an avid follower of your work. But anyway, tell everybody who you are and what your work is.
So Suzanne Shelton with the Shelton Group. Shelton Group is one of the, if not the leading marketing communications agency exclusively focused in the energy and environmental arena, which we could shorthand and call the sustainability arena. I started the company 25 years ago when I was 23 years old, completely by accident, and about 11 years in, figured out, boy, you know, we're really going to go somewhere and make a difference and make an impact. And I'm going to look back when I'm 80 and go, why did I work so hard? We better be focused on something. We better like really hone in. Instead of trying to be all things to all people, we ought to hone in and be the best at something. And we had done a lot of work in the energy space. And the more we looked at energy and the forecast for energy and environment and where all that was heading, the more we realized, boy, this is something we're passionate about. This is something where we can make a difference. This is something that a lot of other marketing and advertising agencies are not focused on. And we could see a lot of the handwriting on the wall, the shifts in supply and demand, the international scene with coal-fired power plants going up in China and the need for energy in India, and it was pretty obvious that, boy, we're going to have a lot more demand and a lot more environmental problems as a result of that. And a lot of folks are going to invent products and services and start building in new ways to try to minimize that environmental impact. So we decided 12 years ago to only focus in that arena. And so today, we're pretty well known for polling Americans and Canadians a few times a year to understand what are they thinking, so what are their perceptions, and then what are they doing as it relates to energy and the environment. And then how does that shape the brands they prefer, who they want to buy from? How does that shape the homes they want to buy and what features they want in those homes? And how do we get them moving forward? How do we get them making better choices for the environment? Our research that we're well known for really is just the tip of the spear that informs creative campaign work we do. So we're also really well known for sort of edgy creative campaigns designed to wake people up to the fact that they have energy efficiency problems or water conservation problems or places where they could engage in a more sustainable fashion. So edgy, funny, always seeking to get people's attention in an unusual way so that they'll make better choices that ultimately benefit them and benefit the world at large. So that's who we are and what we're about.
No big deal.
The abridged version, right?
Tony, I didn't hear what you said.
I said
I'm
that
sorry.
Was the abridged version, right?
Yes. Yes.
Well, you have, I believe, probably through your group, have really helped impact what's going on, or at least to communicate it. And I know that the tone has changed. I've only been in the industry, I think, 11 years, I counted. But I can't believe how much the tone has changed in that 11 years. And we still have a lot of work to do, as you and I have talked before.
Yep.
But it does feel like things are loosening up. Mm. I guess that's a term I could use. But I see more people asking more questions.
I've been in the industry for about 20 years, so actually a few more than that. But this is now mainstream. When you talk sustainability, it's mainstream. Right. It used to be it was extremely a niche, or it was just something environmentalists cared about. Now it's everybody has a conversation about it. While I still have a lot of builders that I know will tell you that nobody cares about any of this stuff. They want granite countertops. There's just as many that know I have to keep up with demographics, and the demographics say this stuff matters.
Yep.
And you guys have dived into those demographics, haven't you?
Yeah, and I mean, I can totally back up what you're saying, Tony. Green absolutely is mainstream. It is a philosophy and a term that the vast majority of Americans embrace. They consider it to be positive. They consider it to be a good thing. And even beyond that, about half of us literally want to be seen by our friends and peers as someone who buys eco-friendly products, as someone who is an environmental good guy. Also, half of us can think of a time when we have not purchased a product, or we have purchased a product based on an understanding of the manufacturer's environmental record. So increasingly, this is not just mainstream. It's actually part of our personal identity. It's how we want to be seen in the world. And we are making buying decisions based on that. You know, more directly to homes, when we test 36 features that you might put in the kind of, I hate to put it in the luxury bucket, but maybe in kind of a nice to have bucket, if you will. So beyond the basics, which frankly, I would call granite countertops table stakes. Like, that's an expectation. I gotta have granite, right? I gotta have walk-in closets. If I've got kids, I gotta have a decent school district, right? Those are basics. And then when you look at the nice to haves on top of that, like a pool or a media room or dual flush toilets, et cetera, et cetera. When we test 36 of those nice to have features, the top five that people who are looking to buy a home in the next 2 years, the top five people say they want in their new home save energy or water. So this is real, and it's expected, it's embraced, it is not a niche thing. And I will tell you personally, when builders say to me, oh yeah, well, the people say they want it, but they won't pay extra, or they really, you know, they could be talked out of it, it is an infuriating eye roll for me, because it's like, get with the program, dude. Of course they want granite countertops. Nobody wants to make the trade-off between granite countertops and better air sealing and insulation, and nobody should have to make the trade-off. We have figured this out. We have figured out how to build greener, more energy-efficient homes that don't break the bank. And by the way, they're beautiful, and they're fabulous. Yeah. We have figured this out. It's out there. It's a thing. So whenever a builder says, I just think, yep, you are going to be out of business in about 5 years, right? Because you don't get it.
And you know, that's a great point, because most of the builders that do say something like that typically are older. They've been doing it for a certain way for a very long time. And chances are they had one person ask them about a specific item 10 years ago when it first came to market, and the contractor they used just shot him a number because he didn't really know what he was doing or hadn't figured out how long it took to do something, and it was way overpriced, and the builder just in his head automatically assumed everything costs more. It costs too much, so nobody wants it. Whereas nowadays, because these practices are more mainstream, well, the cost has come down. Whether it's the cost of materials, the cost of actually doing it, the technology involved has gotten better, so it doesn't cost that much more. And by the time you factor in payback, it's pretty much net neutral.
Well, sometimes by the time you take in a factor labor, so many of these things, the newer building materials and technologies are labor-saving as well, and labor is such a huge issue right now. We can't seem to find enough skilled labor.
Well, it depends on what it is. There are some things like going from a 2x4 to a 2x6 wall.
Yeah.
You know, it takes more time to carry the materials to a second floor because it's heavier. You know, that's one of the little drawbacks. But that's one example.
But build There's a wall panel, and it's a whole different story.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that solves our labor issue right there.
Yeah, exactly.
So there's always a better way to do it technologically that's going to help keep the cost in line with more traditional built for that one builder.
So, Suzanne, do you think we just have to let this generation of builders that doesn't yet really embrace this, just let them retire and just let the new builders coming up push it forward?
I think that is what it's going to take. I mean, I hate to say you can't teach an old dog new tricks because every year I become an older dog, right?
So
I don't want to think about it like that. But I do think fundamentally there are some people who just dig their heels in and they don't want to change. And that's not good in any industry, you know, built industry and others. So I think if you've got guys out there that don't want to change, then they will eventually be pushed out, and that's sort of the natural order of things. I have seen some folks who've been at this a long time who have embraced green building, and they've gone, wow, this is a better way to build. My homes are better. The people who buy them are happier in them. So I'm going to do that. And that's fantastic. I wish everybody would look at it that way. And they don't want to look at it that way, then okay.
I know,
the market will change and they won't be with the times.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, that's the exception, not the rule. But what I'm finding is you take some of those older companies that have been building for, you know, decades and decades, but it's that next generation of family that's taking and driving the change because they get it. They're younger. Yes, our company's been building for 100 years, but it's the third generation now that's in the lead, and he gets it. So for him, it's an easy switch.
Well, and market changes tend to come in from the youngest demographic in the market, and then they push their ways up. It was that way with something as mundane as casual business clothes. I remember when that all came about in the 90s, and that's just how we seem to roll. But anyway, we should take a breather right here, take a quick break, and we'll be right back on the Green Gab.
Jack Bauer fan? Jack is not back, but 24 is, in the form of 24 Legacy. It's time for more 24 Legacy, which means it's time for more 24 fans. Check out the best 24 fans appreciating 24 Legacy now over at 24LegacyFans.com. That's 24LegacyFans.com.
Looking for a straightforward user interface and a cost-effective, feature-filled multi-track recording software? Call off the search. Mixcraft from Acoustica has exactly what you're looking for. It's time to include reliable audio creation and editing software with real punch into your projects. Check out Mixcraft now over at acoustica.com/mixcraft and start a new generation of audio creation and editing today.
Wouldn't it be cool if your advertising could last forever? It can with perpetual advertising. Here's how it works. Unlike TV or radio ads, where every instance the ads are broadcast, they're only played once and lost forever. Perpetual advertising can have repeat exposure and replayability weeks, months, and even years after they're inserted in a podcast. So even if a podcast is a few years old, your ads will still be impactful to repeat listeners, as well as new listeners. This gives your advertising dollar the most bang for the buck. Find out more about perpetual advertising at twoguystalking.com/sponsors.
So, Gabin today on the Green Gab with Suzanne Shelton of the Shelton Group, and of course, my co-host Tony. So we were having this great discussion before we broke about how demographics are playing into this whole shift that's happening in home building and building as well, that greener, more sustainable practices are just becoming a way of life. I'm actually staying with some friends while I'm in St. Louis this week, and one of my friends is an architect. He's a landscape architect by training, but he's been working on some projects, and he was showing me some of the things they're doing, and sustainability is just reeking out of these plans.
Yep.
Gorgeous.
Is he more in the commercial market?
Yeah.
Oh, that's
And he does like urban planning and
commercial.
Really big projects for revitalizing in a whole section of the city. But what they're doing is just phenomenal. And it's so thoughtful and it just connects the dots so well. So the more of this we push forward and cities adopt it, the more we as individuals and participants from our home are going to go, well, okay, maybe that makes sense elsewhere. It's just taking a while for that to flow through.
I was just going to say, you know, the great example that Marla gave, that's commercial construction. And commercial construction, I think you really have to search to find contractors, developers, and architects that really aren't using sustainability principles. Whereas the challenge is the residential market. That's where you have a lot of the older guard that doesn't want to jump in on this yet.
What I was going to say is, even from a residential perspective, millennials entering the home buying market, and I think we can all agree maybe some of them are waiting later to buy homes than their parents did, but when they do enter the home buying market, they often have kids and they are very aware of indoor air quality issues and chemical content issues, and they're aware of efficiency and renewables. It's a base expectation for them that their builder will have thought about this. So it's a bit of a double-edged sword. On the one hand, Typically, that audience is going to come in and talk to a builder or walk through a show home and ask questions like, well, talk to me about VOC content or talk to me about energy use in this home. So typically, they're going to have those kinds of questions and builders need to be ready for them. But sometimes, what I'm actually kind of worried about is that sometimes maybe millennials won't ask about it because they just assume it's already been thought about. Like, isn't that how people go now?
I so totally agree with that. I'm seeing that in the new neighborhood I live in. They have a local energy certification program. And so this builder's community is that local energy certification. I had to ask a lot of questions. Well, you're doing this, this, and this, right? No. But because they have a HERS rating, and a HERS, for those of you that don't know, is an energy rating that simply tests energy efficiency. But because these homes are advertised with a HERS rating, people are leaping to the assumption that, hey, it's an energy efficient house, so it must be a better house. And it is a better house for energy efficiency. It just may not be a better house for indoor air quality, which is what I'm struggling with right now. We're going to actually have to do some extra work.
Because that's not part of the HERS rating.
Right. Right.
It's the assumption that it is, though.
Our neighborhood is primarily millennials, young families, and then some baby boomers that have downsized. You know, one empty nesters that just want a smaller home that's easier to take care of and things. But I'm seeing that in a number of the builders that follow this local program. And I've been talking to some of them. How are you talking about this? Well, nobody's asking, so we don't really talk about it. It's like, that could be a problem.
Better to be proactive than reactive.
Right.
So if they can get out in front of it.
Yeah, you're pointing at exactly what I'm worried about. I mean, we see this in every industry we work in, that it's easy for folks to go, well, people aren't asking, so therefore they don't care. And in fact, we do so much polling and so much research work, and what we find is, no, people do care, but it's become such a base expectation. I don't know, it's kind of like when you're buying a car, you don't ask, hey, does it have seatbelts? Right? Because you expect that it's going to have seatbelts, right? So it is such a false, bad assumption to make that, oh, because they're not asking about it, they don't care about it. Absolutely, they care about it. They just assume it's a base expectation. Or there may be a technical issue that they don't know to ask about, but it is something they care about. I mean, if you ask someone, are you concerned about the indoor air quality in your home, like 60% of us say, yeah, I am. Sort of worried about, what am I breathing in? What are my kids breathing in? What are they crawling around on? People are worried about that, but they might not necessarily know what to ask about or to ask about it. So if I could wave a magic wand, all builders would understand that and do the right thing as they create their homes. So it'd be baked in standard. That would be my
right. And I think it's that connecting the dots. That's the part that's unknown. And especially with a lot of the residents and homeowners I've talked to, and some of them just friends. And they've started asking more questions about what I'm doing. And they're like, well, I want to do the right thing. And I'm like, well, then these might be some things you want to consider. Oh, really? So for instance, well, gee, my kids have allergies. Well, have you considered taking your carpet out? Why would I do that?
Right.
Well, that holds a lot of the allergens that are likely kicking off your child's allergies. And if you don't have a HEPA-sealed vacuum cleaner, you're just stirring it up. Some very simple issues, you know, like filtration issues. Well, does a homeowner know to ask, hey, what kind of filters are going into my house and my heating and cooling system? No.
And the answer is no.
Yeah.
No, they don't.
Yeah.
But it doesn't mean they don't care. They do care. They just don't know what to ask or to ask.
Well, they care about what they get from it. And that's, I think this has been the big shift for the builders. And I know you and I've had some conversations about this, as have Tony and I, is that builders are busy touting the features they have. Yet homeowners want the benefits and the promise that the home gives them.
Yep.
So you got this mismatch. So that's what I love about your work, is that I feel that it's working hard to help people connect those dots. And we just got to come at it from a lot of ways.
Well, one of the things I often say when I speak is that there's an old adage in the advertising industry, and the adage goes like this. Nobody wants to buy a 3/4-inch drill bit. What they want to buy is a 3/4-inch hole. You know, so, but in order to get the hole, I got to buy the drill bit. But I don't really want to buy the drill bit. I just need a 3/4-inch hole right there, right? But so in this industry, we do an awful lot of marketing of the drill bit. We got these features. We got this stuff, you know, and nobody cares. What they want is the end benefit. I want to know that my family's going to be happy, healthy, cozy, and safe. I want to know that I'm not going to be able to hear the party my neighbors are throwing next door. I want to know that I'm going to be able to walk from room A into room B, and the temperature is going to be the same. I want the light quality to be great. I want to sit in this home and feel physically comfortable and feel emotionally comfortable because it's beautiful. I like the way the light comes in. Oh, and by the way, I want to be the boss of my energy bill. right? So these are the things that people want, and that's what we need to tap into when we message. We need to tap into those deeper drivers. Oh, the other thing I really want is I want to feel like a rock star, and I want to buy a license to be smug and sanctimonious because my energy bill is lower than everybody else's, and because I sold my, when I went to sell the home, I got a 10% price premium on it because it's so awesome, because it's efficient and green, right? That we all want that too. And don't we do that, right? Like when you get a good deal on something, don't you tell everybody? Or if like you sold something and got a great deal on it, you tell everybody, right? So we want that. Like, look at what a smart human I am. I bought this house, enjoyed it, lived in it, and then I sold it for more than all you other jokers out there, right? I mean, that's ultimately awesome. We want that. So that's what builders ought to tap into. Hey, we've got the blah, 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 whatever. I don't even know what feature to use as an example.
Granite countertops.
There you go.
Yeah.
So how do we get builders excited about this?
Well, yeah, it's all about the money, right? I mean, they want to sell homes, and so they'll build what they believe will sell. I do think it's a matter of showing them trends in other markets. You know, in other markets, green homes are taking off. And there are a lot of stats out there that green homes, and even I think Energy Star has done a study on this. I may be misspeaking, but I know there are studies out there that show that certified, efficient, and green homes, they sell faster, they sell for more money, they do retain their value better. It's a matter of just that becoming real and builders beginning to go, oh, okay, so this isn't just a niche-y thing and I can feel like a better person because I built a good home. I'm actually going to make money at it. There's proof out there that they will. So I think it's about packaging that message. Like, not only are you going to be a great rock star for the planet, you are going to make money. Right. You're going to sell these homes. You're going to sell them faster and make more money on them.
Well, we've got, like, there's some real pillars of the energy-efficient green home building industry that are some guys that have been around, and a couple of ladies as well, that have been around for a while. And it's like, how do we tap into that experience and help them get it down to younger generations and get the word out? But sometimes I feel like everybody's so busy talking to themselves about how great energy efficiency is and green and sustainability that we forget to go engage the people that need it. And that's a struggle I see right now.
Yeah. I think we'll get there. I mean, again, like I said, these are the kinds of homes millennials want. That's who's in the market. We've got this nice barbell thing happening right now. You've got millennials, and then you've got empty nesters. And they actually both want very similar features and benefits in their home. Open floor plan, you know, so if I'm 70, I might want that open floor plan because I don't want to climb stairs. And if I'm 30, I might want it because it's, you know, great for partying and entertaining. So it might have slightly different reasons for why I want certain things. But what I'm hearing from some of the builders I talk to is that the floor plans they're building are equally attractive to millennials and empty nester boomers.
Totally.
And that a common thread is they are interested in the efficiency. Again, for a millennial, it might be more about, okay, I want to know that I'm a responsible human being and I'm doing the right thing for the planet. For a boomer, it might be, you know what, I'm going to be on a fixed income soon and I just want to know that those energy bills are manageable.
Yeah. Cost certainty.
They have different reasons, but they want the same thing. So again, that's another home run for builders, is it's two markets. And that middle group, those of us that are still raising kids and we're crazy, busy, whatever, we may have totally different reasons for buying what we buy, but the emerging market and the soon-to-be current market and where the pay dirt is with those millennials and those investors, and this is what they want. So I think builders will come around. I think it'll happen. We shouldn't lose too much sleep over it.
Okay. Well, hey, let's take a quick breather. When we come back, I want to talk about some of the reports y'all have done and some of the studies y'all have done.
Thought about a career in voiceover? Need a great, cost-effective on-hold message for your organization or business? Don't know where to start? Check out The Voice Farm, your one-stop shop for voiceover needs. Check it out now by accessing the Voice Farm at voicefarmers.com and see what difference can be made with a company that is truly outside the box. From the Voice Box, voicefarmers.com. That's voicefarmers.com.
Everyone's wanted to start a blog, but who wants to start one all on your own? Take your interest in creating a blog to the next level by getting bit by the blogger's bug. Blogger's Bug is a blogging community that allows you to polish your blogging skill set today. Log on today at bloggersbug.com and get bit by the Blogger's Bug. Bloggersbug.com. That's bloggersbug.com.
Hey, we're still gabbing with Suzanne Shelton of the Shelton Group. And oh my gosh, Suzanne, I could talk for hours with you.
I have a feeling you two have.
In bits and pieces, we always seem to be going one in, one out. So we kind of connect for a few minutes at the end of a presentation. True. Or it's nice to have a few minutes to just talk with you. So it's nice to know we're capturing it for posterity.
Yay!
I know.
It will always be out there.
There you go. I want to just leap right in because I want to make sure we have time to talk about this. Talk about some of the reports and the studies you do, because I'm a huge, huge fan of these and I love what y'all share, but tell us what you do.
Yeah. So, you know, we're a marketing and advertising agency totally focused on energy and the environment. And so we're big believers that, boy, if you want to do effective communications and effective marketing and advertising, you got to know where people's heads are at. A lot of marketing, particularly in this sort of energy efficiency and green space, will sometimes miss the mark because it assumes people think things that they might not think, or it assumes people want things they might not want, or that their driver or motivator is different than it really is. So we've always believed in, look, let's just go find out. And it's interesting because sometimes people will argue with us about the data, like, well, I can't believe people think that or whatever. And it's like, well, okay, sorry you're disappointed, but this is where they're at. And so this is good news. Now we know where they're at. So now we can speak to them from that space and then shift them over time. But if we assume they're thinking something different than they are, they're not even going to hear our message, right? So let's understand what they're thinking. So we have been in the field doing quantitative studies, meaning we are creating a sample pool that mirrors the latest Census Bureau data. So we are mirroring the U.S. population and polling enough people, typically around 2,000 people, so that we get a plus or minus 2% margin of error on a series of questions, that many of which are trending questions. So we can look at, you know, how are people thinking about things today versus what they were thinking 8 years ago. But then always every year we ask new questions because new issues come up, or, you know, we get new insights or new layers of the onion are peeled back. And so these studies then fuel several free downloadable reports we put out there. We've got a newsletter that goes out to about 6,000 or 7,000 people every week that all these studies fuel as well. And then more importantly, they fuel the development of our creative campaign work so that we can build the right campaigns and communication and marketing materials to literally sell more products, build brands, and create social movements. So ultimately, those are the three things we're trying to do. So we've got some really interesting stuff out there right now that's freely available from our latest Energy Pulse report, which was fielded late last year. And the dots we're connecting, you guys, is that not only is green mainstream, that's where we started this conversation, but belief that climate change is real and caused by man is mainstream now. And that was not the case 5-10 years ago. Only 13% of us believe it's not happening and not caused by man. 64% of us absolutely believe it's happening and caused by man. The rest are kind of on the fence, and what we typically hear from those people is, well, I get something's happening, I'm not sure if it's caused by man. But 64% of us believe it's real, it's happening, caused by man. For comparison's sake, by the way, like 72% of us believe in God. So 64% believe in climate change, 72% believe in God. We're getting close, right? But this being kind of universally accepted. So people are believing, and more interestingly, 51% of us are concerned. We feel anxious about it. And we're seeing that number trend up over the last several years. I mean, I'm in Knoxville, Tennessee, and it was 73 degrees yesterday on February 21st. Mm-hmm. That is not normal. Now, I don't know if that has anything to do with climate change or not, but what I know is in our qualitative work, when we do one-on-one interviews with consumers or we do focus groups with consumers, those are the kind of anecdotes we hear, like, man, something's going on. Mm-hmm. It was really cold when it shouldn't have been. It was really warm when it shouldn't have been. And so we have an experience of it that leaves us feeling anxious, disconcerted. And so therefore we're wanting to do something about it. Even though climate change, we shouldn't talk to people about, you know, save the planet or solve the climate problem because that's too big. But the idea that, hey, something's going on and we all need to come together and do something about it. We all need to do our part. That is a message we're now beginning to see resonates. But the big hairy problem is most of us have no idea that our individual greatest environmental impact comes from our homes. Only 6% of us understand that the leading cause of greenhouse gas emissions in this country is, in fact, the energy we generate to use to heat and cool our homes. So most of us don't know that. Those of us who care most about the environment, we are faithfully taking our bags to the grocery store. We are driving a hybrid car. We are recycling. We've started composting, and we have not done anything to upgrade the insulation of our home or air seal or upgrade the HVAC unit or anything. The equivalent of, you know, we're pulling out of our driveway in our Prius feeling really smug and awesome, and I'm doing the right thing for the planet. Meanwhile, we left the thermostat set at 70 degrees and all the lights on. Right? So we don't understand that the greatest way we can make a positive impact on the environment is through our homes. That's a chasm we've got to cross. We got to help people understand, you know, what was the Bill Clinton alignment? It's the economy, stupid. It's like that. It's your home, stupid. Although I wouldn't call people stupid, but it's like that. You know? We gotta make it that clear and simple. Like, it's your home. It's your home, right? So fix your home. That's the best thing you can do. And the best thing you can do to be a great human being and to make a real difference. So we think it's time. I mean, our latest report has actually called something like it's time to play the planet card.
Yeah.
So we think it is actually time to start talking about the environment. And the message that resonates best is let's not waste natural resources. And that works across both sides of the aisle, by the way. Republicans and Democrats alike get it. I mean, as Americans, we get it that it's kind of crazy to waste resources. Why would we do that? You know,
yep.
We were brought up, waste not, want not,
yep,
leave
me
the world
too.
Older, better than you found it. And you know, we were all brought up that way, right? So we get it that wasting resources is a bad idea. That's the way to talk about it is, hey, why would we waste resources? So why would you get a home that leaks like a sieve and wastes energy? Don't do that. Get a home that doesn't waste any resources. Get a home that uses only what it needs.
Yeah, we also, we have this huge stock of existing homes out there that are complicated to upgrade. It's not,
yes.
Building science gets complicated for an existing home. So we still need to find a way to help the vast majority of people that aren't going to get a chance to be in a new home. And we had this conversation the other day about the building codes. It's like, okay, the building codes are great, and we want to push them as much as we can because they set the tone for what happens below that, you know, not with new homes. But the new homes are just such a small percentage of the total homes out there that are affecting our total energy use. I want to help people find ways to know if you can start small with some things, then we can build better habits. And once you can build better habits, then you can make better big decisions. So it may start with things as simple as turning off your lights, turning off your water, turning down your thermostat, or putting in a programmable thermostat. And you know, I think you and I talked about the do five things kind of approach at one point in time. And it takes that many things before people have new habits.
That's right.
But how do we educate this whole new group that says, you got to rethink things. You got to look at what you can do. And we're actually talking with another gentleman on the podcast about a financing model that will help us do that. Because when I bought my house, nobody volunteered. Well, gee, if you just want to remodel that existing house a little bit to be a better house, I can put you in this different kind of loan and you'll have the money you need to do that. Nobody volunteers that kind of information.
Right.
Like,
that's right.
Why not?
Yeah,
you're still getting a loan.
You have to do your research to find the programs.
Yeah. I mean, they're out there. There's tons of them out there. And that's part of what, you know, hopefully we're helping to get more of that out there so people know about it. But I'm just astonished at how many people don't think about taking the initiative and say, hey, we can do something outside the box. We can do something inventive. We can do something cool.
Well, you're talking about a lot of systemic problems that need to change.
And true.
I do see them changing, right? I mean,
they are. You're right. And I'm an optimist.
Yes. So I think we're going to get there, and I think we're going to, at some point in our lifetime, we're going to see a new reality where, you know, when someone's going to buy an existing home and they get the home inspection done, that home inspection also includes an energy inspection. And, you know, problems from an efficiency standpoint are pointed out so that the buyer or the seller can figure out what are they going to do about it. And then loans are going to be on offer. And like you said, they're already out there. They're just not being promoted, but they'll become a lot more obvious that, oh, well, okay, so you need to do a few $1,000s worth of energy upgrades. No problem. We can bake that into your mortgage in this way, and so therefore it's a blip. You don't even feel the pain of paying.
Yeah, that's
so
the time to do
we
it.
We are going to see that. We're going to see that in our lifetime.
And I think, you know, the financing side and the realtor side are very key to that happening sooner than later. And I don't know what that looks like, but I'm excited to talk to this other gentleman that we're bringing on the podcast about some of the financing models he's been putting together. And exactly, because that's part of the issue.
Well, maybe at some point when the real estate agents understand they can't sell a house because those that are on the market are vastly underperforming new homes coming on the market, maybe that's the tipping point.
But right now, we don't even have enough inventory, so not happening.
Right.
Yep.
Well, Suzanne, believe it or not, we have come to the end of our time together, but give us one parting summary or one parting thought. And we will include the resources that you're going to give us in the podcast notes so folks can go look this up. I highly, highly recommend you guys go check out some of the work Shelton Group does. It is, you'll hear a lot. Suzanne and I share a lot of similarities in how we think and how we feel this all has to come together. So I love reading your market research and what you guys are pulling together. And I appreciate everything y'all
thanks
do.
Thanks for that. Yeah, and I appreciate everything you do as well, and I think we're both good fans and refer people to each other, so we'll just keep doing that.
Thank
as
you.
As for a parting thought, I guess I would just say Don't be afraid. The way forward is through sustainability. It's through green, efficient homes. It's through greener, more efficient products across the board. So if you're a manufacturer out there, bake sustainability in. If you're a builder, bake sustainability in. If you're a consumer, learn a little bit about this and ask the right questions, because that'll keep the manufacturers and the builders doing the right thing. So don't be afraid, and let's embrace this, and let's create a more energy responsible, sustainable America.
I love that. So, okay, energy responsible.
Sustainable America.
Sustainable America.
I love it.
Yep.
I love it. Suzanne.
Awesome.
Thank you so, so very much. I don't know when I'll bump into you again, but I'm sure it'll be before too long. And
yes.
We appreciate you being on the show. Tony?
I appreciate you having me.
Yeah, nice to actually meet you or have a conversation with you. Eventually, we'll meet face-to-face.
Yes.
Well, and that's it. On the Green Gab today, and you can find us on iTunes, greengabpodcast.com, or greenhomecoach.com. Everyone have a wonderful day.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Green Gab Podcast and for joining us on our own personal green odyssey as we change the world one Green Gab podcast at a time. What did you learn about during this episode? Tell us now by visiting our website at greengabpodcast.com. And remember to connect with us via iTunes, Facebook, and Twitter. The links to do all of this are at our website, greengabpodcast.com. Thanks for listening, but more importantly, thanks for rocking it in green.